Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the April 2025 edition. The Name Game by Rick Bragg. My grandfather called them like he saw them. I never got to see my grandfather's face or hear his voice. He died in 1958, the year before I was born. I have a lot of regrets about that. He was a laughing, fighting, loving, liquor-making, hammer-swinging giant, a poor man who never bowed his head to anyone. I wish I could have seen that. The main reason I hate it so much is that I didn't receive the legacy he left so many here in the Appalachian foothills, along the Alabama-Georgia line. He never had gold or greenbacks to spread around, and didn't own an acre of land. But he gave out names. He had a kind of gift for looking inside a person, and no matter what appeared on their birth certificate, seeing what they should be called, something that fit just right. You could say it was a nickname, but in many cases it was the only thing they were ever called by friends and kin. And some are etched forever into old stones that lean left and right in cemeteries here at home. Gadsden Johnson was born with a fine, dignified name. I never heard it. He was always just Pine Knot Johnson, brother to Easy Johnson, and Pine Knot is how he is remembered. Cut into stone. He was tough, a little hard-headed. Pine Knot. It sings. Homer Turner, likewise, sounds perfectly nice, but my grandpa called him Pig. Why Pig? I asked my mother, assuming it was an unkind reference to his size. No, she said, he could talk to pigs. Did they talk back? I asked, and she said, she reckoned so. He could not, however, communicate with mules. My mother said one day Pig was out in the field cussing a mule that was jerking him all over the place, and his wife walked out of the house saying, "Please don't take the Lord's name in vain." He said, "Well, the Lord never had to plow with this mule." I asked her why my grandfather always felt compelled to try to set the world straight by renaming the entire region. And she gave me one of those looks, the ones that tell you, "Hun, you should have figured that out by yourself." Because he just loved people, and if you love people, you give them nicknames, she replied. There was Jesse Clines, who talked to owls. He was never known as anything but Hootie. Some of my grandpa's choices were mysteries, like what he called the woods girls, Helen and Havine. "You mean Dootsie and Weedy?" my mother corrected me. Nanny Spencer became Aunt Dude. Virgil Bundram was known as Buckshot. James Bundram, who wasn't afraid of anything on earth, was Shaker. Leona Morrison was Jabbo. Toby Morrison was Doughbelly. That's cause he wore suspenders, she informed me. There was Crook Woods. I liked that. My Aunt Fine was Polecat, but she didn't really appreciate it, so my grandfather changed it to Tadpole. My mama was Pooh Boy, Aunt Juanita was Snag, and Aunt Edna was Mockytop. No one seems to recall why. He carried on this tradition with all of his grandchildren. My cousin Jeanette was Guinea, like the chicken. Cousin Alton was Bacco, after God knows what. And cousin Betty was Possum Brown. My brother Sam was Samson, because he was so strong, even as a little boy. And then my grandpa was gone, and I was left with just my official name. It is a good one, and I'm glad to have it, but what might have happened if I'd had another name to live up to? I do wonder. The Grumpy Gardener, Our Garden Expert Alleviates Your Growing Pains, by Steve Bender. Dear Grump, since my husband became a master gardener, he's been useless around the house. He can't fix a light bulb, squash a spider, or lift a basket of laundry. All he does is read about plants, talk about plants, prune plants, and buy more plants. I hate his stupid plants. Any advice? Jessica. First of all, Jessica, there are no stupid plants, just misunderstood ones. Second, you have to accept that the title Master Gardener is so prestigious that those awarded it often add it to their office doors, business cards, letterheads, LinkedIn profiles, and headstones. Getting him to change his ways may involve bringing in the big guns. Announce that henceforth, every night will be a Hallmark movie marathon. If that doesn't work, he is lost. Time to move on. Rotten apples. I live in North Carolina and have lots of apple trees. They look great in the spring, but as the months progress, the leaves fall off and the trees look terrible, even though they still bear fruit. My spouse wants to cut them down. I'd like to save them. Is there something we can spray that won't contaminate the nearby creek? Carl. Many fungal diseases affect the foliage and fruit of apples. The best preventive measure is planting disease-resistant options like Priscilla, Liberty, Freedom, and Red Free. But it's too late for that here, so I recommend you treat your trees every 10 to 14 days after they finish blooming with neem oil, according to the label directions. It's a natural fungicide that helps control common apple diseases, such as powdery mildew, apple scab, and rust. Spraying your trees with dormant oil in the winter will also help, as will picking up all the rotten fruit on the ground and throwing it out with the trash. Keep in mind that fish are very sensitive to both natural and synthetic pesticides, so don't apply those near the water. Bermuda grass invasion. I live in North Louisiana, and my backyard zoysia grass is being taken over by Bermuda. Is there a way to get rid of it without killing the zoysia? Liz. Unfortunately, there is no herbicide labeled for home use that safely eliminates Bermuda from zoysia. The best way to control Bermuda is to thicken up your zoysia through proper fertilization so it crowds out the Bermuda. Fertilize in spring after the grass greens up, and then again in late June or early July. Mow at 1.5 inches high. Awful air fruit. We're all out of hope. We live in Biloxi, Mississippi, and have a lot of satsumas we call air fruit. The rinds are thick, and the flesh is airy and tasteless. What are we doing wrong, Michelle? Never again remind me of Air Supply, that Australian band from the 70s, or their treacly single, All Out of Love. Now that I've stopped retching, back to your question. The satsumas are one of the most cold-hardy types of citrus, are likely crummy due to a lack of phosphorus and nitrogen in the soil. Try feeding them in the spring with a citrus fertilizer, according to label directions. Big no to hostas. We have a Japanese maple in a shady 3-by-6-foot bed. We used to have mondo grass there, too, but we ignored it, and it died. We thought about planting hostas in place of the mondo grass, but a landscaper said the maple would suck the nutrients from the soil so the hostas wouldn't live long. Would they have a chance? Carter. I agree with the landscaper. That's a small bed for a tree. Soon the maple's roots will fill it in, and hostas don't like root competition. Replant the mondo grass as a shallow-rooted evergreen ground cover. And this time, give it a little love. Grumpy's Gripe of the Month. When we bought our house decades ago, flowering dogwoods fill the woods behind it with blossoms every spring. No more. One by one, all those dogwoods died, victims of drought, heat, and disease. So what changed? The climate? Spring begins earlier, fall lasts longer, and summer is hotter. I conclude that the resulting stress makes trees weaker and more disease-prone, just like it does to people. We can only hope that genetically resilient dogwoods, better suited to the new world order, will come along. Until then, baby the ones that you still have, and don't forget to take pictures before the worst happens. Solarscape Extra Large Pink Jewel Impatience by Steve Bender. Brace for impact. This sun-loving annual steals the show from spring until frost. Every year I try out new plants. I praise the ones that perform and banish those that don't. Here's the latest one to gain my favor. Solarscape XL Pink Jewel Impatience, a 2024 All-American Selections winner, like Sun Patience. The Solarscape XL series loves bright light, but also thrives in part sun. Solarscape XL Pink Jewel features huge magenta pink blossoms, more than 2 inches across the top mounds of disease-free foliage, reaching 12 to 15 inches tall and 18 to 20 inches wide. Grow it in a solid border or a container. Faded flowers are self-cleaning, no deadheading required. Look for this beauty in garden centers this spring. Morning Glory. Mini croissants dress up this make-ahead casserole. Blueberry croissant breakfast bake. Active 20 minutes. Total 1 hour 30 minutes. Plus 8 hours of chilling. Serves 12. 1 cup powdered sugar. Plus more for garnish. 2 8-ounce packages softened cream cheese divided. 2 teaspoons grated lemon zest. Plus 1 1/2 tablespoons fresh juice from 1 lemon divided. 1 tablespoon plus 1 teaspoon vanilla extract divided. 2 cups fresh blueberries divided. 2/3 cup granulated sugar. 2 cups half and half. 4 large eggs lightly beaten. 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. 14 mini croissants divided. Toasted sliced almonds. Step 1. Whisk together powdered sugar, 1 package cream cheese, lemon zest, 1/2 tablespoon lemon juice, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla in a large bowl until smooth. Stir in 1 cup blueberries, crushing slightly with a potato masher or a fork until well combined, then set aside. Step 2. In a separate large bowl, whisk together granulated sugar and remaining cream cheese until smooth. Gradually whisk in half and half, eggs, salt, and remaining 1 tablespoon lemon juice, and the vanilla extract until well combined, then set aside. Step 3. Cut 12 croissants in half crossways. Place bottoms cut sides up in a 13 by 9 inch baking dish, coated with cooking spray. Dollop with blueberry cream cheese mixture. Cover with croissant tops. Pour the egg mixture over the croissants. Step 4. Tear remaining 2 croissants into bite-sized pieces. Tuck in around sandwiches to fill any gaps. Sprinkle with the remaining 1 cup blueberries. Cover and chill 8 to 12 hours. Step 5. Let stand at room temperature while the oven heats to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Bake covered with foil for 30 minutes. Remove the foil and bake uncovered until golden brown, about 30 minutes more. Sprinkle with almonds and dust with powdered sugar. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.